Well, I loved being involved with VBS this past week, Vacation Bible School. And I want to say a big thank you to Ayanna Grady, who does such a wonderful job leading our youth and family ministries, and to her adult and youth volunteers who made a really fabulous week possible. The lessons of VBS were taught with words and then reinforced with hands-on experiences. The theme was Rocky Railway, and the image of a train conveyed much of the symbolism that was being taught. We spoke of Jesus' power like a locomotive that gives us hope, helps us to be bold, and to do hard things, and to be a friend, a good friend. We had so much fun. We sang songs and danced. We made crafts and little gizmos. And we enjoyed interactive stories from the Bible at story time. It wasn't just our brains that were involved, you see, it was our whole bodies. The experiences taught us the main thing, which is that trusting Jesus is joyful. Now, I want you to contrast that with the story from our gospel today. Jesus, exhausted from teaching, goes out in a boat with a group of adults and promptly falls asleep in the stern. And before you know it, the boat begins to be filled with water and with fear, buffeted by waves. And the adults cry out, "Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing, that we could die?" And even after Jesus responds promptly to their needs, they are still afraid. The word translated awe, A-W-E, as in they were filled with great awe after he quieted the storm, is actually more literally and better translated as they feared with a great fear. You see, they've simply gone from one set of fears to another. Jesus sees that the adults, his very students, have not integrated into their lives what Jesus has been so earnestly trying to teach them, to trust him. And it was a miserable day on the lake, if ever there was one. This trip on the lake represents our life in faith. One day the seas are calm and following, and the skies are fair. We're happy, and life is just clicking right along. But then there are other days when the waters turn choppy. Career, health, money, relationships. It doesn't take too many of these to swamp our boat. And we cry out at our limit, "Don't you care, Jesus? I just can't take another loss." It may help to understand the boat we're in. That's right. We're in a boat right now. Look at the ceiling. Everyone, just look up for a second. And you'll see that it's shaped like the hull of a boat to float and to cut through the water. We have a tower, others a steeple, that juts up into the sky like a mast. And on top of that, at the highest point, is our ensign, the cross, which tells anyone within miles who can see it that this ship belongs to Jesus Christ. It says that this vessel belongs to our captain, Jesus Christ. And here we are seated in the galley. You thought you were on pews. You're not on pews. You're in rowing galleys. Can I get some rowing? It's called a nave. It's called a nave, as in navy, which comes from Latin meaning ship. We're in a ship, brothers and sisters. This pulpit that I'm in, might it resemble a crow's nest? I can see into the corners of the church from here. You can see me, and I can make a conversation with you from here. You can hear me. You can see me. I can see further from this crow's nest, just like on a ship. And earlier, did you feel the ship tremble as Mr. Morley played that beautiful psalm? Could you feel it? We might be rocking and swaying. I hope you've had some Dramamine. And we have the most beautiful portals. Have you seen these windows? Have you looked out through? There might just be a whole ocean out there. We're in a ship, brothers and sisters. Although my father-in-law would probably say it's a boat, and I would never understand why, but it's a boat. It's a ship. The church, that is, the Christian church, has long understood itself to be like a boat upon the water. And so these architectural elements were built in to remind us of that. And today they connect us quite tangibly to the gospel. They ought to. But there are many kinds of boats, are there not? What kind of boat are we on? First of all, we must reject the notion that we are on a cruise ship. I've been on one cruise in my life, and I gained 5 pounds in a week. And I have never been treated to more pleasure and entertainment in my life. It was a wonderful thing for a honeymoon, but everyday life is not like that. Methodist minister Mark Rawls has named some crucial differences between a cruise ship and our life in the church on this ship. First, he observes, travelers on cruise ships are passengers. Passengers, a very passive role. All the important decisions on a cruise ship and the important work and all the work, in fact, are handled by others, by professionals trained to do special jobs. They're called crew. But everyone in this boat has work to do. Setting the altar, delivering flowers, ushering, leading Bible study, teaching the children, serving others, feeding others, praying, etc., etc. There is work to be done, and we all do it. There will never be an end of the work that we have to do, and any good Navy person will tell you that. Second, passengers on a cruise ship all pretty much do their own thing. They want to stay in the cabin, they stay in the cabin, play shuffleboard, I'll go play shuffleboard. Go shop by myself. I might attend classes, whatever it is I want to do so that I am entertained. But the church is not like that. The church is not primarily an individual activity. The church is a team. We have roles to play together. It's a community experience. Third, on a cruise ship, passengers, they eat what they want when they want. Oh, do they eat? You decide what table you want to eat at and with what friends you want to eat at, what time you want to eat. They're feeding people all day long, and you could just go eat by yourself if you like. But our boat is not like that. We eat together. Everyone here on this boat eats at the captain's table. And that includes those to whom we take communion who can't be here. We all eat at the captain's table. Fourth, cruise ships are about entertainment. Now, I'm not opposed to a little entertainment. Erica would vouch for that. I don't mind a little. But on a cruise ship, that's the main thing. That's it. That's why you're there. That's not why we're here in this boat today. Entertainment is not the main goal of the ship of Christ. We do entertain each other by our company. We do have fun through our fellowship. It is not a drudgery to be on the ship of Christ. Don't get me wrong. It's fun. Those children show us how to have fun. And we encourage each other. We lift each other up. We help each other to lighten our hearts. And lastly, says Rawls, and this one's really important, I think. It takes no courage to go on a cruise. But the Christian life is exemplified by that day on the lake. And it takes courage. The waters of Galilee, the deep water in all of ancient literature represents real danger, the unknown. And Jesus doesn't say, skip around that. He says, we're going over it, through it. And I'd like to add one thing to what Pastor Rawls has said, and that is, unlike a cruise, the boat of Christianity is not an out and back trip. Jesus is taking us toward salvation. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And by that, I think he means we go to the stranger, to others who don't look like us, don't have the same background as we have. This boat is going in that direction, a place that we don't know, a place where we don't know what the ultimate demands will be. But we go in faith because Jesus is our captain, and he says that's where we're going. If we trust Jesus, we're going to do that. Others who don't know Jesus as their captain will think this boat of ours is a ship of fools. Many look at our ship and see what we're doing and wonder if we've taken leave of our senses. You mean you serve strangers meals? You give away your hard-earned money so that others can have dignified homes to live in? And you work together joyfully without getting paid? You experience death and loss not as the end, but with hope for new life? And they say you follow a dead prophet who says he's going to take you to eternal life. You call him your savior. And you do this as church. That's the name of your ship. And our answer is yes. You have properly described our ship of fools, our ship of Christ. Paul's witness in 2 Corinthians from our reading today is a perfect example of how letting our fear go and trusting in Jesus on this voyage gives abundant life. When we do that, we let the power of Jesus speak peace, and our fearful cries become sweet prayers of trust in the one who calms the storm. May God grant us Paul's confidence to know and feel that no matter how turbulent life may be, Jesus is present with us in the boat right now. He cares for us, and he will see us through to the other side.